Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 John chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. The Reverend Craig Mueller is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 John, the third chapter. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we passed out of death into life, because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. This is the word of the Lord. So do you feel hated this morning? I'm thinking that most of us here would agree that there are some folks who genuinely hate us, even though they really don't even know us. Yet they come off with hate and attack you because of your thoughts and your religious beliefs. I'm also pretty sure that if I asked that question of you 10 years ago, most of you would say, I don't feel hated. Well, maybe a few bad relationships or conflicts at work where I've been harboring some disgruntled hate that's festering in my soul, but I don't think the world would have hated me like they do now 10 years ago. I'm thinking 10 years ago, you probably would have been marveled or shocked if you were told that you were an evil, unloving person because you believe that God created us male and female, and that marriage is a divine institution between one biological male and one biological female. Our Lord tells us not to marvel that the world hates you. That's a tough challenge. All of us want to be loved. Well, if not loved, at least liked by our co-workers and fellow citizens. No one wants to be labeled a hater, a bigot, or any other evil word. Yet the world has flipped these two basic definitions of hate and love completely upside down, opposite of what our text says today. Now, it is supposedly loving if you allow your children to have sex changes. It is supposedly loving to openly reject God's word on creation, marriage, and redemption. It's supposedly loving to kill an unborn child in the womb if it's unwanted, or loving to remain silent when God's word clearly speaks because you shouldn't interfere in another person's life. Yet supposedly it is hate to call someone to repentance and back to the word of God in deed and word. Yet it's supposedly hate if you call your neighbor to repentance for those who are living in open and willful sin as they are in danger of eternal hell by rejecting our Lord Jesus. Well, we as God's children know what true love is. When someone truly loves you, they're going to warn you when you're about ready to step off a cliff. They will warn you that if you touch that, you're going to get burned. Or if you keep doing that, you're probably going to get killed. When you love your children, you discipline them. You teach them what is right and wrong. Love is not allowing them to mutilate their bodies. Love is not ignoring their sinful behavior. Love is willing to lay down your life to save another. We, just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, want all to come to the knowledge of the truth and believe in Jesus as their Savior from sin because we truly love them. Hate is negative, seeking the person's harm, and leads to activity against them, even to the point of murder, where Cain is mentioned in the verse prior. Love is positive. It seeks the other person's good and leads to activity for him, even to the point of self-sacrifice. Hatred characterizes the world whose prototype is Cain. It originates from the devil, issues in murder, and is evident by the self-spiritual death. Love characterizes the church, whose prototype is Christ. It originates in God, shows itself in self-sacrifice, and is evidenced by eternal life. Love is when your parents brought you to the baptismal font where the Holy Spirit made you his child, forgave your sins, and created faith in Jesus. Love is when someone continued to bring you to the house of God, where you could hear the word of God in its truth and purity. Love is someone who taught you to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. God is love, who comes to you now in his word and sacraments. The God of love in his Holy Supper gives you his very body and very blood for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. It is Christ you love, and in him you love the unlovable. In Christ you speak the truth in love. The Christian faith is more radical than you know. People tend to think of religion, especially the Christian faith, as a personal choice that is of relatively little significance, and you should certainly not talk about it to other people, and they don't want to hear your side of it. Well, John approaches the radical nature of Christianity differently. He begins, as our text said, "Do not marvel, brothers, if the world hates you." Now, why would the world hate you? You're just a nice, little, lovable person. Well, because the Christian faith is something that transforms us. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love. He who abides not in love abides in death. Our faith in Jesus has taken us out of death and into everlasting life. The sign of our change for us is in love. Love one another in Christ. Well, the world hates us because we are fundamentally different. We love one another and the world hates us. Since we love what the world hates, we know that we are not of the world, but of God. Dr. Lewis, a commentary, wrote, "It is easier to be enthusiastic about humanity with the capital H than it is to love individual men and women, especially those who are uninteresting, exasperating, depraved, or otherwise unattractive. Loving everybody in general may be an excuse for loving nobody in particular." Just a couple of verses before our text, John wrote, "By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." The transformation may not always be so obvious to us because we are the ones transformed. We don't feel all that righteous all the time, nor do we feel all that loving. The righteousness is Christ, and we merely try to live up to what we have been given. But the world can see it, and it hates us with a violent hatred. You can see that hatred in the world, the way the world treats Christians and their faith, compared with how it deals with other faiths or religions. One is good, protected, defended, excuses made for it, even when it is evil. The other is despised, even when it serves the public good. We can see it in social media and hear on it in the daily news shows. The commentators accuse Christianity of being violent and evil, while they blindly excuse other groups for the actual violence that they do. John reminds us not to marvel at this. The world hates us. It is only human nature, so they don't want to hear it when you want to speak your faith. They hate us and will use whatever is available to destroy us. They will try to lure you out of the faith. They will marginalize you or your doctrine. They will try to seduce you with the pleasures of this world, and failing that, they will try to shame you with the scorn of the world. At times, they may even resort to persecution to get you canceled, fired from your job, and even death to silence you. That insanity will seem even sane to them because they live in human nature and serve the Lord of this world, the Father of lies. Yet God in our text reminds us Christians the true definition of love. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, Jesus. We know love and understand how it works because of Jesus. For God so loved the world that hates us, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Jesus died for us in the world. He laid down his life. The entire epistle is about the gift of life eternal and the forgiveness of sins. The love of God is visible because it's always active. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are the consequences of the death of Jesus. It is poured out for all. God gave you faith and continues to strengthen your faith in His Word and sacraments. The Holy Spirit gives you the strength in the midst of this world of being hated to believe the gospel, to cling to the cross of Christ, and trust in God to forgive you when you too harbor hate and don't love your neighbor. God forgives you in Christ. Faith takes God at His word and expects Him to do what He has promised. God gives you love, the love to love the unlovable. And the love of God and our neighbor motivates us to speak the truth of God's word, both law and gospel, because we love them. So we need in practice to show that love, to show our faith. We need to act it, to live it out. We love, and so we preach the word of God, so all may repent and believe in Jesus, because we love them. We want them in heaven with us. We love because God first loved us. Hear these words from the next chapter of John in chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. So little children, let us not love with just words or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Chad Shishke, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.